Why? The songs that we sang tonight. I think somebody was reading the notes from my lessons. I mean, we sang God is so good. Then we sang Majesty. And the closing song fits too. We'll sing that, Lord willing, soon. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm. And the book of Psalm, chapter 8. In this book, in verse 3, we read the psalmist, David, says, When I consider, when I'm thinking, I'm sitting down, I'm meditating, and when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visited him. And in verse 9, the last verse, David says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Isn't it amazing when you actually sit down and contemplate everything that God made, the sun, the moon, the stars in the heavens, if you actually sit down like David and think about it, you have to be drawing a conclusion. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. And David, I imagine, spent many hours thinking and contemplating and considering the heavens. It's an amazing thing. For the next few Sunday evenings, I'd like to work together with you on a series. And that series is called To Know God is to Love God. We mentioned in the message this morning that you really can't love someone you don't know. And so we want to talk a little bit about God. How excellent is your name in all the earth? And as we look at this lesson, we would simply begin with the question of who is God? I think that's a good place to start. And so I'm praying tonight and that when we all leave this building, that we'll have a greater understanding of to the answer to that question, who is God? We'll have a better knowledge of our great God. And or maybe there's someone here who doesn't really have some understanding about God, and over the next few weeks we'll gain new understanding. Something maybe we didn't know about God. And I hope that this lesson will enable us to draw closer to God, closer to the Lord, closer to our relationship with Him. Remember, that's what James commanded. Draw nigh unto God, or draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. James 4:8. That's a promise. So let's try to draw ourselves close to God. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 73, and at verse 28, he says, it is good for me to draw near to God. And so we have some great men who are telling us, draw closer to God and God will be closer to you. And it's true that we will never know everything about God on this side of the cross, on this side of heaven. But we sure have a lot of things that we can learn about God, a lot of things that will draw us closer to heaven in our lives. Because it's also true that God has revealed Himself to us, and He's done that in two ways. By means of His creation, and of course by His inspired, living, and powerful Word. You know, when you look in your Bibles in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verses 19 through 20, the Apostle Paul there, he says, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. What did God show them? For since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Why? What else do we see? We see His eternal power and Godhead. God made all the things in the world, not just so we could live here, play here, and enjoy this planet, but He did it so we could see Him. He wants us to be able to look up at the stars and the planets like David did and learn to say, O Lord, our God, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name. And that's what we want to try to accomplish in the next few weeks. And after Paul wrote that message to the book, to the Romans there, that there, it's clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, His eternal power, Godhead, He said, so that they are without excuse. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. In Psalm 97, and at verse 6, the heavens declare Your righteousness. That's God's righteousness. When we look up in the heavens at night and we see the multitudes of stars and we see some of the planets and we see the moon, and it shows God's righteousness. And it reveals to all the people His glory. All the people see His glory. And if you think looking up in the heavens adequately describes the glory of God, you know what? Even the heavens can't adequately describe God. Can't be done. And as you look at Psalm 19 in that verse 1, David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament is His handiwork. So we're going to see the creation. We're going to see through the creation, all the things that magnify God, show us His power, show us His righteousness, and magnify His name above every other name. And by that living, powerful, inspired Word, when we think about the living Word, we think of 1 Peter chapter 1 and at verse 23. That we were born again, not of corruptible seed or incorruptible, but through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. God's Word is a living Word. It is not dead. Not living in the sense that it grows old and changes like our bodies, but living in the sense that it is inspired by the living God. And it will exist in this life all the way to the life to come. That's proving things about God. In Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says, for in it is the righteousness of God. It is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Powerful Word that reveals God to us. And of course, when we read 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture, that's everything that is in this book, from Genesis to Revelation, is written by the breath of God. It's written by the inspiration of God, and it's good for doctrine, reproof, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that's us, is thoroughly equipped for every good work. Nothing lacking. We have it all. And this is going to teach us the answer. Who is God? And so when we ask that question, who is God? We start with this fact. God was, God is, and God always will be. And He will be again. He always will be. Revelation chapter 4 and at verse 8, God is eternal. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, and is to come. Can't say that about me. One of these days, you know, you could say He is. And one of these days, you're going to say He was. And maybe I'll be glad to not be around when you say what he was. But that's going to be true about everybody in this room, isn't it? You see, that's the big difference between us and God. God, he was. He is. And he is to come. For us, we might say he is, but one of these days, for everyone in this room, Lord, save the Lord comes back, we're all going to hear those words, he was. What are we going to hear? He was a good man. He was faithful. He was obedient. He did walk in the light. He did love God. He understood God's majesty. He understood God's power. He understood by looking at creation that these things didn't happen by accident. Or are we going to hear, he didn't believe the Bible. He didn't trust in God. He had no relationship with the body of Christ. He refused the message of God. And fill in the blank, dot, dot, dot. No, we're not like God. No one can say Dave was, is, and is to come. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 and at verse 1, this declares exactly this very thing. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. He created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit hovered above the waters. But you notice it said, in the beginning, God. That means he was here before the beginning. God is. He was here long before there was even a earth. Long before there was a sun, moon, and the stars. In fact, he was here before there was time. He was here before there was light and dark. In the book of Psalm, chapter 90, at verse 2. We read about that. Look, he was, he is to come. Let's look at Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were, before the mountains were. Remember what it said, in the beginning, God created. God's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. God's the one who divided the waters from the waters, and the dry land came up. God's the one that created these mountains before the mountains were brought forth or ever had formed. You had formed the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. God has no beginning and he has no end. And what's really great about this is God is able to be with us no matter where we're at. He's able to do that. Are you having times of troubles? God is there. Are you joyous? Rejoice. God is there. Are you complex or confused, or are you having issues that you just can't seem to resolve? Listen, God is there. When evil knocks on your door, God is right there backing you up. When the good things happen, God is right there. Remember what the Hebrew writer said? What did he say? What did the Hebrew writer say? Hebrews chapter 13 and at verse 5. What was that he said? Right? Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has himself said, what? What did he say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's the only one that can say that. You know, when you get married, you know what you say, right? For better, for worse, in sickness and health, till death do us part. There it is again. That's what a wife says. He was a good husband. The husband, she was a good wife. But with God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who can say that? God. Who else? Nobody. Nobody else can make that bold statement. God will always be. Let's look at Genesis chapter 21 and verse 33. I have that on the screen. And you can look that up in your Bibles. Your Bible should say the same thing my Bible says. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Even Abraham knew. When we think about God and we want to know God, doesn't it help to know that He's always there? He's always been there. He always will be there. And one of these days, if we're faithful, if we can live with trust and faith in God's Word, if we can obey God's Word, not only was He, is He, but we'll see Him face to face. He will be again. Remember what Psalm 90 verse 2 said, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Unlike man, God is not restricted by time, by space, by matter, because God is spirit. He's not constrained like we are. In fact, He's the one that I mentioned earlier. He created time. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, right? There was no time. At that time, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God placed the sun in the sky for the day and the moon at night. There was a first day, a second day. We have time. God's the one that created time. But He did that for us, not for Him. Unlike anything in His creation, He has no beginning, no end. He just exists. And God, again, unlike anything in His creation, He can't die. He cannot cease to exist. He cannot be overpowered, our God. Devil can't overpower Him. Man can't overpower Him. The angels cannot overpower Him, because He cannot ever be defeated. He's God. And I know that this is hard for some people to grapple with. It's hard to bring this all together sometimes in our finite minds. But listen, God in His infinite wisdom did not leave us without the ability to prove this very thing. He gave us a mind. He gave us an ability to learn and to dig into things and persevere towards learning and gaining knowledge. And the more knowledge we gain, the more we should understand it didn't happen by mistake. We know God through His Word. Psalm 19 and 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. The Word tells us that. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Because what may be known of God, He manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by what? By the things that are made. By the things that are made. Even His eternal Godhead, a power in Godhead. Why? So that they are without excuse. You know who they are, right? Man. Mankind. Men, women, even young people. You are without excuse if you go through this life and don't take a little time to be diligent and investigate who God is. You know how many people... And it is so sad how many people, many of us have talked to, who say, "I don't believe the Bible." And you say, "Well, what parts don't you believe?" I love that question. "Well, I don't know, I just don't believe the Bible." How can you believe something that you don't know, let alone love something you don't know? And so whenever you get that question, you just turn it right around and say, "Well, what do you believe?" And they'll always say, "I'm either an atheist or I believe in evolution." That's the big one. I believe in evolution. And I will tell you, do not be afraid of that question. Because even if you're talking to a college student, oftentimes, when you say, explain it to me, evolution, they know less about it than you do. God is great. And no one can say, I have an excuse when it comes to standing in front of the Almighty God, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses God. When we stand there on that day when the world is divided nation by nation, and we face the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge, and nobody can say there, but I have an excuse. The dog ate my homework. No, you can't do it. There's no excuse. But some look about the marvelous, complex design here. You know, in this Romans chapter 1, if you're still looking in that in your Bibles, look at verse 21. It just makes me think of that verse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Neither were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Man. Isn't that something? Creeping things. Crawling things. Four-footed beasts. This is what men have done. When we don't look at the God who's everlasting to everlasting. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name. And I realize some people look at marvelous things, complex designs in the universe, in our world, and the same people can't see a design because their hearts are darkened by the devil. You cannot look at how things exist and say that there's not a designer behind it unless your heart is stone cold, darkened by the devil. You know, these signs. A while back, a few sermons back, I talked about something I read on the internet. The title of that, the article was, Venus May Have Supported Life Billions of Years Ago. You remember that? Venus, surface temperature, averages around 900 degrees. It's been that way as long as science has been around. Oh, but 3 billion years ago they figured this out. 3 billion years ago they figured out Venus probably had life. Really? These same scientists are the ones that say if gravity changes a little bit on the earth, if the atmosphere of the earth changes just a little bit, if the earth changes just a little bit distance from the sun, if it tilts on its axis a little bit more than it is, life would be impossible on earth. And Venus has a surface temperature of 900 degrees. Really? And we're going to believe them over our excellent, powerful designer God. Well, I'll tell you what. When you think about that, nothing compares to the human body. You can look at plants and trees and the sun, the moon, the stars, and you know, we can't go out there and like check them out. But check out the human body. One of the most magnificent things on the earth. Life. Some 30, if I got this right, 30 trillion average, incredibly complex cells in our body. 30 trillion. I'm not sure. Is that bigger than the national debt? I think it is. 30 trillion. Our nervous system, our skeletal system, the internal organ system, the lymphatic system, all these things work completely and perfectly together in normal situations, and somebody's telling you that it wasn't designed that way. David truly did understand this. You know what David said, Psalm 139:14? You know that, right? I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who made me, David? God. And what did he say? Marvelous are your works. God, marvelous are your works. They're magnificent, marvelous, beyond imagination. And he wasn't just talking about the sun, the moon, the stars. He wasn't just talking about the trees and the mountains and the valleys and the rivers and the ocean. He was talking about us. Because he said, and that my soul knows very well. How marvelous is your name, are your works. Think about it. Design is everywhere you look. All you have to do is look. But why some people can't see it? I'm not even going to waste time thinking about that. Because I see it. And I think you do. It boggles my mind. You ever hear the story about the watch, the factory that blew up? Man's walking down the street one day and he's walking by a factory. And as he walks by this factory, all of a sudden he feels this big blast and this shake, and the factory is blown up. And all these pieces from the factory have gone up in the air in smoke. Thousands of feet, thousands of pieces. And all of a sudden he feels something hit his wrist. And he looks down at his wrist and he goes, oh, wow, what is that? Where did that come from? I had to use a picture because I don't wear a watch. Where did it come from? Do you know that the people of evolution, these people who don't believe God exists, they don't believe that there's a designer behind all these magnificent, marvelous, wonderful things, want you to believe that that's possible? They want you to believe there was a big explosion, all these pieces came together and created a complex watch that works. Boggles the mind. Just boggles the mind. Brother Lee and I told you this morning, we had a Bible study with a man out in Worcester. He's from Ashland, Ohio. And while we were studying with him, we were studying the Word of God, different things about God and how marvelous He was, things about Jesus and things about the church. And he stopped us right in the middle and he says, I believe you. You're the first people that I've listened to that have such a strong argument for the truth. And let me tell you why, because I understand science, the laws of thermodynamics, the laws of physics. And he started quoting all these laws, and I'm not going to read that. That's way over my pay grade. But he was convinced because he knew science. And he said it to us. He explained it. He was convicted because of the Word of God fitted with the scientific understanding. And that kind of confused me, his explanation. But I'm sure that I don't really care, because at least he agreed that the Bible was right and all these other things he knew were wrong. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, I have a computer. And listen, you can walk along the beach one day and you find a laptop kind of buried under the sand, and you're going to pick that up and you're going to think, oh, millions and billions of years in a laptop. Or you're going to think, somebody made that. They designed that. They dropped that there. I wonder who it belongs to. Because it wasn't fearfully and wonderfully made. It was designed by somebody. You know, I'm intelligent to a degree. And I come to the conclusion that my computer was designed by an engineer, an electrical engineer, somebody that works with circuitry. I'm convinced. Probably a whole team of people made this computer. I was sweating tonight before the sermon, too. Maybe I should, because I forgot my notes. So if this thing dies, we're in trouble. But you know what? I'm smart enough to know that behind every Everything is a designer. Everything. Now, think about this. My car. I'm going to show you a picture of my car. My hopeful car. But you know what's behind that car? An engineer. Somebody designed that car. That's what's behind. Think about this building. You think this building just kind of built itself? Put in the electrical systems, the AC and heating systems? You think that the fans are running because billions of years of things just happening, falling into place, and this building was built? No, this building was designed by an architect and built by a builder. I mean, you got to be... Something's wrong if you think that car just kind of popped up out of nowhere. Something's wrong if you think this building just kind of grew up out of the ground just millions and billions of years. You know what else? And I'm kind of embarrassed. I want to show you this. Usually, I'm always wearing my suit and everything, but you guys can tell I'm pretty buff. And I want to tell you about my body. Wow, who made that? Well, God. You know what? Who made this? Who put that there? Oh, it's just some big bang. No, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God placed the sun there and the moon here. All those stars He put there and named every single one of them. How excellent is Your name. This is our God. And listen, to accept these things and to know these things is to know God, and it is to love God. How can you not love that kind of Creator? The sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the everything. Clearly, without question, something designed these things and something very powerful did it because it made everything from nothing. Long before science understood the human body, even before David said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made," long before that, we know that we were made by God. You know, consider again His Word. Consider just the magnitude of the number of prophecies that are in this book. 300 plus prophecies. Prophecies that predict the future. My son asked me, "Are we going to play golf Friday?" "I don't know, is it going to be snowing Friday?" "Well, the weatherman, let's wait till Thursday night. We'll talk." Listen, 300 prophecies. You think about this. In Isaiah chapter 7 at verse 14, a virgin will bear a son. That son's name is going to be Emmanuel. That came true in Matthew chapter 18, or 1, chapter 1 verse 18 and verse 22. Listen, Isaiah was written around 700 to 700 B.C. Matthew was written around 85 A.D. And I say A.D., not C.E., because I'm really old and I don't even know what C.E. means. But you're talking over 600 years prophecy, and it all came true just like it was stated. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Micah chapter 5, and at verse 2 it tells us that. And in Matthew chapter 2 and at verse 1, where was He born? Bethlehem. That was 500 years difference between those two books. Jesus was crucified just like Isaiah 53 and 12 tells us. And in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 38, Jesus died on the cross. He was crucified. Again, 600 years difference. The Bible even predicted that His side would be pierced. No bones would be broken. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And in John chapter 19 verse 34, that's exactly what happened over 600 years later. Listen, if you can't take the time to dig into how things are made and learn about the magnificent, marvelous, wonderful works of God, at least understand that you can't tell me what's going to happen tomorrow with any sense of accuracy and surety. You can't. James says, you know, you're a fool. You go into a city, you say, I'm going to buy and sell and get gain. He says, no, you say, if the Lord wills, because you don't know if you're going to be there tomorrow. That's what he said. And all of these, listen, 100% accurate. And so we have all kinds of things to tell us all about God. And this is just a little bit of it. But what I want you to understand is that His Word declares Him. The creation declares Him. His Word is something that you can prove. You know how many people have tried to destroy this book over the years? And guess what? It's still the number one seller. You can come to the conclusion that God is, that He is behind everything that has ever been made just by looking at the things of His Word, looking at the things that are made. And Lord willing, in the next Sunday evening, if we're here, we'll consider His nature and His character. You know, I heard that there are only two things that exist in this world that are eternal. I heard that today on a television show. I don't normally listen to those, but he had a good point. And those two things are, not this, but this. One of them is the Word of God. That Word is eternal. It's never going to perish. It'll exist into eternity. And the other thing are God's people who will be together with the Word, Jesus Christ, in eternity. Where are you going to be in eternity if you don't believe God's Word? And if you're a Christian and you did believe God's Word, but you've fallen short, listen, God gives you an out. He says, repent, and you'll be restored back into a faithful relationship with Him. Do you have any need this night? If you do, we're going to stand and sing the song of invitation number 235, and you can make your way forward.